It's the footballiest time of the year. With quarterbacks throwing and tailgaters ready for some brats and beer. It's the pigskiniest time of the year.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Of course it is, because football, as the song goes by the one-man house band Dick Banks there, it is the footballiest time of the year, and as we say all the time, it's always football season. Clearly, look at how gaga America went on Wednesday when the schedule was unveiled for 2014. We're going to pour over it right now, and let's begin doing just that. But let me remind you, as always, that the Dave Damashek football program is available on iTunes. Subscribe to it, or you can check us out at NFL.com/Sheck. This is an exciting show, and I got to tell you, walking in the door today, my emotions were low, because I make no secret of the fact that I root for teams from the banks of the Three Rivers. Pittsburgh, PA, and my Pittsburgh Penguins suffered a horrific, horrific defeat last night at the hands of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I'm sick about it, but Black Tie boosted my spirits. Producer behind the glass, he has carved up the schedule release and used it as a reason to give us 4 quarters worth of content. That's what he's called them, 4 quarters. He's given us a bunch of questions he wants us to answer here. It's really like he's a producer or something. He's produced the show here. So let's dig into it right now. We're going to go over the 2014 schedule, the highlights, the lowlights, our complaints, our corrections, so on and so forth. Let's do it right now with the man seated to my immediate right from NFL Network and NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Back-to-back podcast for the first time in what seems like a long time.
Some streak you're on, Rank. I know. It's unbelievable. Even Black Tie, is his jaw's on the floor. His current streak, I think, is 3 straight podcasts himself. You've been on 2 in a row.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm doing, but I must be living right to see you guys on repeat occasions like this. It's quite a thing.
Spoiler alert, Handsome Hank is going to be stopping by, so it's going to be 2 straight podcasts with him in a row as well.
Oh, it's just glorious.
With the band.
My spirits were also boosted as a Pittsburgh sports fan. I saw Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer, walking around the halls, and we kibitzed a little bit. We commiserated, in fact, about the Penguins. He, in fact, is still a Pittsburgh Penguins and Pirates fan. He likes those
cool
guys. Yeah, it is neat. Also,
we're going to be out of the NHL playoffs, you and I, not too long from now.
I know. Your Kings and my Penguins. But I don't know. I'm not giving up hope yet on the Penguins.
You've got
still in
show.
It. It's just crazy. Something we talk all the time about. Peyton Manning, you have to deliver in the big moments. Mm-hmm. Well, Sidney Crosby, the best player in the world, and Geno Malkin, one of the top 5 players in the world, neither has scored a goal in this series. It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about hockey anymore. I want to talk about, don't give me the inception horn.
NFL schedule, guys.
I was moving on before you even played that sound. I want to say this, though, about Rod Woodson. He was drafted 12th overall by the New York Giants in the NFL all-time draft of 2014. It continues to roll on. I think we are through picks.
Wait, who'd the Bears get?
Bears took Deacon Jones of Mississippi Valley State.
See, that's a great moment for me.
It's a good fit.
My two teams coming together.
It's interesting. This is something we did a week or so ago, and like I say, we're up through pick 21 now, I think. It follows the actual draft order that the teams will be drafting in next month, or actually, 2 weeks from now, they'll be doing it. And by their current needs, their team needs, the only difference is rather than just picking from the current pool of college players, it's all of time. So like I say, Rod Woodson is now with the Giants. Ronnie Lott of USC is now a Pittsburgh Steeler, so on and so forth. John Elway of Stanford is the new quarterback for the Houston Texans. Anywho, check it out. It's lots of fun. But Rank, let's look at what's going down in 2014 after the draft. And I see that there are a number of questions here. I have a question of my own, but let's do what Black Tie wants us to do here. Let's address his questions. Quarter number one, kickoff. Are you going to do like a whistle and stuff with that?
No, I just have a buzzer for the end of the quarter in case you guys are going too long.
I got you. So Black Tie posits, or doesn't posit, he asks us, what week one matchup are you most looking forward to rank? I'll start with you.
Well, we're going to have to take the Bills at Bears out of it, right? Because you don't want to do favorite team type of things. Because
that's what I look at.
That's what I looked at first, is to see who the Bears were playing.
Sure enough. I get you there. The thing that jumps out to me, though, before we launch into specifics is, I say it every year, and yeah, it's terrific NFL, and looking at the games, no matter what week, it's going to be fun, and oh, that's going to be a fascinating game. But don't you understand, NFL, people who make this schedule, we just are getting out of the metaphorical desert here. We've gone through spring and summer. We've been so far away. By the time late August, early September rolls around, the Seattle over Denver Super Bowl will seem like it was a decade ago. We don't need juicy games in week one. Just give it. We're just emerging from the desert. We're starved and dehydrated. We don't need a filet mignon and lobster and some delicious, I don't know, fancy wine. Give me a glass of water and a hunk of bread. I just need to satiate myself. I'm not, beggars can't be choosers. I'll take what you got.
You'll end up throwing up that meal anyways.
That's right.
Like the kids on Survivor, they don't go out and they can't eat a huge meal immediately. They have to eat like rice water or something like that.
I don't need these games that have legitimate playoff implications right out of the gate. It's too much for me.
Are you talking about divisional games, or are you talking about this Packers-Seahawks game?
All of them. I mean, I definitely don't like the divisional games. That's
divisional,
for sure.
That's one of the rules that I've tried to propose. If Adam Carolla could get the uprights extended, I want to do something where there is not a divisional playoff, and not a divisional game until at least week four, ideally week six, and then you call that rivalry week.
I love rivalry week. This is what I've been pushing. I like rivalry week, but the tweak I make is that along with everybody loves rivalries in any sport.
Right.
You don't need the divisional rivals. I mean, we already have those in place.
Those.
In addition to that, you make regional rivalries. Now, every team doesn't have a natural regional rival.
Of course.
But about two-thirds of the NFL teams do. You know, starting off in the Keystone State, you could have the Keystone Bowl every year. You could
have
the Steelers and Eagles play one another. People would be captivated by that within that state. Likewise, if the Cowboys and Texans played annually, people would go crazy in the Lone Star State. And so on. Dolphins v. Bucks. You just do. Is it inner? You know what? That's one of those things. I should know that as somebody
who's... Interconference. Yeah, something like that.
My vocabulary should be better. Is it interconference or intra-conference?
Intra, I believe.
If you play against the opposing conference.
Something. I think it's intra.
Anyway, go ahead, Rank.
But
tell us your most...
But that's the thing, though. So you start because... If you look at college schedules, for the most part, they stay the same. They just flip home and away every year. So you have six games which are the same every year. So weeks 6, 7, and 8 are your divisional games. And then every team has a bye either week 9, 10, 11, and 12. Those are the only weeks that have bye weeks.
I like this. This is something you've long pushed for. I agree.
Two divisions take off for 1 month. You rotate that in. And then the last 3 weeks of the season, again, you go back to the divisional games and then go 17, 16, 15. And then, you know what? Because I kind of like, okay, Packers, Seahawks, I can understand where you don't want the juicy game there, but this is a chance where the Packers are still in it because they could fall off the table this year. So I don't mind that one as much. I love that the Chargers are playing the Cardinals in the late Monday night game because those are two teams. They're somewhat regionally close. They don't have a rivalry by any sense of the imagination. But it's fun. It's going to be a fun matchup. Are the Cardinals going to be able to take the next step? Is that defense is really good? That division is tough. The Chargers, are they going to be able to build off of some of the things they did last year now that Ken Whisenhunt is no longer the offensive coordinator? So I really like that game. And, of course, the 49ers at Cowboys, that's a good one.
Adam, the question asks for one matchup, buddy.
I'm sorry. Okay, fine.
We got Bills
at Bears.
It makes the point that I made at the top. All the games are fun. I don't care. It's a week one. I haven't seen pro football in 8 months. I'll take any game. I don't need a high quality matchup. Just give me any two pro football teams playing one another, and
By
I'll
the
be
way,
satisfied.
This is weird too. There's only 2 1 o'clock games on the opening weekend. You got the Panthers and Bucks and the 49ers Cowboys. The rest of them are 10 a.m. games.
You're saying yes. So the late afternoon game. There are only two.
There's just two of them, and it's like, okay, because the only game, because I will probably, we'll do Fantasy Live, and then I'll probably bail, and then go home and watch the Bears and the Bills, and then I'm going to miss all these games because I'm not going to care, Because I just want to see how the Bears are.
I got, well, see, they have
this. It's newfound.
They have these remote controls and satellite dishes. You can watch all the games. You can flip away at commercial time.
I'd rather I did it.
All right. Let's say hello to the man who just joined us here in Studio 66, all the way from England originally. Now he lives in Southern California as our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I am energized by the schedule, Dave, just as it sounds like you both are.
Yeah, we are. And I'll say this, right? We're talking because Black Tie has put together a proper
rundown. Like
I know,
a real show.
That's the way some shows do things. Yeah.
How will we know which direction to go off in when we just want to go off in our own direction?
I'll make that choice.
Okay.
I'll just make that call. But right out of the gate, this is what I'm talking about. The Dolphins, presumably, are going to have a great deal of optimism at the start of the season.
Yes, they are.
Why do they have to play the Patriots right in week one? That's too juicy a matchup. That could affect how the division comes out. I don't like their first game being a big divisional matchup.
Well, I mean, if what you're talking about is the terrific start they get and the win that they have over Tom Brady's Patriots,
oh, like
they
had in 2013.
When they come visiting Miami, I would thoroughly agree with you. I think it is going to affect the way that they play for the rest of the season. It's going to set them on a path which will inevitably end up in Arizona, where you and I will celebrate them lifting the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Well, a couple that, talking about divisional matchups or otherwise, we're picking our favorite game.
Mm-hmm.
If you could only watch one. And I guess let's strike. Rank went through a few of them. Don't pick your favorite ball club. Although,
right.
If it's Johnny Football, or with the Cleveland Browns, or for that matter, if it's Derek Carr, A.J. McCarron under center, and he's throwing it to Sammy Watkins and Josh Gordon, this could be some debut
right.
for the new look Mike Pettine era.
Wow, yeah.
That's a fascinating one in Heinz mm-hmm. Field. And I looked at the Steelers schedule. I'll cut to the chase here. I won't go through it one by one, but I'll tell you this. I went through the Steelers schedule. I got them at about 10-6, and that's not a homer pick.
That's good news.
Yeah, that's not a homer pick. I correctly said 2 years in a row, 8-8 for the Steelers, and they went 8-8 both those years. I think this year, if you look it through, their worst case is 9-7. Their best case is probably 11-5-ish.
As I tweeted yesterday, if you went through your team schedule, which everyone does as soon as they
right.
see it and pick win-loss, if you predict your team wins fewer than 10 games, double-digit wins, they're actually going to go 3-13.
That's
basically
so right,
the way
yes.
it works. The
it's
optimism
a wildly
that
skewed.
Fans have.
Yeah.
If they don't get to 10, you're in a lot of trouble. I would maybe go away and leave the U.S. for the next 8 months or so.
Listen, Colts at Broncos is a wonderful game, of course. I just, again, I'd love to see that one
that's
on the schedule
one
in week 10.
But for me, that's the one. Do you remember how much fun that one was last year?
Yes, I do.
That game was fantastic, and it had my favorite finish to it when Vontae Davis was interviewed on the field and said he'd been, how did you win this game? And he said, "We've been preparing all week for Tom Brady." Remember
that's
that
right.
interview? That was
I
great.
Loved the Jim Irsay before the game opened the dome, which they almost
never do,
just to make it cold in there for Peyton Manning. But no, we didn't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody's
it was
making
just
a big
nice
deal.
Night.
Packers revisiting Seattle. I wish we would have gotten that one in January just to see the Packers go back in there because, of course, in case you've forgotten, the last time they played a game there, it was the Fail Mary game. Who
That's
knows
right.
how different NFL history might look had the Packers won that game and how that would have affected their standing in the playoffs.
Speaking of, there
ago.
Is a we've created a bunch of movie trailers for the the schedule release, and there's a trailer dealing with just that.
What's it called, Black Tie?
It's called Fail Mary 2.
Fail Mary 2.
Date with Destiny. As a subtitle. And it deals with that exact same question, the altered NFL universe we're living in right now.
I realized, by the way, the other day, no more. Everybody, it's hacky at this point to when you make anything a sequel or it's like, oh, the Niners and Seahawks are playing again. So it's rivalry renewed. Electric Boogaloo. No more Electric Boogaloo. That reference has been tired now. The one I think it needs to be replaced by is what was the name of the second Speed? Out Cruising or something like that. That's what it needs
just,
to be replaced.
It wasn't called Out Cruising, that's for sure.
It was like Cruise
Wait,
or something.
Has seen Speed?
Oh, stop.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. That's a 1994 movie, if I'm not
mm-hmm.
mistaken.
By the way, it's Speed 2 Cruise Control.
See, that's good. Look,
that's
it's
awesome.
The renewal of the Packers and Seahawks 2 cruise control. All right, Handsome.
With Jason Patrick.
We're going to play the. That's right. We're going to play the. We're going to play everybody's favorite game. Has Black Tie seen it? The man who has seen about four movies in his entire life, even though he regards himself as a cinephile. Handsome Hank, has he seen Speed 2?
Speed. In 1994, Black Tie was, I'm guessing, 6 years old. And there's no way he will have seen Speed. That said, he has seen Speed 2. This isn't part of
weird,
the quiz.
Weird,
but I bet he's seen Speed, but not hasn't seen Speed, but has seen Speed 2.
Rank?
He hasn't seen either one of them.
Yeah, see, Rank plays it the right way. Just play it safe. Just say no, and you're going to win 99.9%
of the
time.
You're
going to
be very impressed when I get this right.
I'm going to say he has seen the original.
Oh.
Yeah, just to roll the dice here. Go ahead, Black Tie. Have you seen it?
Guys, the answer is I've seen Speed 1.
Yes!
And I've seen Speed 2.
Half credit to Handsome. I don't know. That's very weird.
I've seen Speed 1 at least like 8 times, and I still remember the score of that movie till today. I'm a big score guy, and that's one of my favorite scores.
You're a big score. You've watched. You've seen like
score guy.
You've seen less than 10 movies in your life. How do you ever you a score guy?
The ladies will tell you that.
Let's keep it moving, guys.
All right, we'll keep it moving. The game that jumps out to me, not
we're
necessarily
still on question one.
Yes,
you do realize we have 11 questions.
I understand.
Left.
I just want to weigh in. There are a lot of interesting matchups. The one that jumps out to me, though, this isn't. If I had to pick only one game to watch, this wouldn't be it. But Saints at Falcons. I say the Saints are going to get the number one seed by virtue of their easier schedule. I don't think they're as talented as, let's say, the Seahawks or the Packers, but I think the way their schedule sets up, they're going to be 13-3 this year and get the number one seed. However, this will be a bad prediction if the Atlanta Falcons return to their form of two seasons ago, and we'll see if they have right out of the gate there in the Dome. That's an interesting one. If the Falcons are anywhere close to what they were 2 years ago,
right,
then our what we imagine is going to be the NFC this season will be thrown off kilter.
Could be a fun one if Thomas Dimitroff, who the Falcons draft 6, and he loves to trade in the draft. Could be fun if he's traded up with the Rams to get Jadeveon Clowney, and then you have Clowney chasing Breeze all over the field on opening weekend.
True
well,
enough.
If he's motivated.
Yeah, if he wants to play this one.
Is there a game you want to... That's such hokum. You watch Jadeveon Clowney.
Kidding.
I know, but this nonsense that now we've reverted back to it. In October-ish, Jadeveon Clowney, you can't draft him now. He doesn't work hard. Then, of course, as I predicted, the combine came around and his workout, and he dominated, and then he ascended back up to his rightful place atop the draft board. And now the last couple days, now we're back to, well, I don't know if I like this guy's thing, and most people assume it's a smokescreen so that he falls
but
a little
bit.
But
did you see this thing in the big lead of all the players who have been recently compared to Lawrence Taylor, because we get this every year
LeVar, I think I could name a lot of those.
LeVar Arrington.
Andre Bruce was
Andre
Lawrence
Bruce.
Taylor.
Derek Thomas, of course, was very good. Keith McCants. Can't miss player.
Percy Snow.
Don't go that far back. Julius Peppers.
I love
nothing.
The Percy Snow pull.
Love some
linebacker
Percy Snow.
Of Michigan State.
Kevin Hardy, Simeon Rice, Andre
well,
Bruce.
Well, a lot of these. Most of those names had good careers. The point is that Lawrence Taylor is arguably the greatest football player of all time. So, of course, they're setting the bar too high.
Anybody is arguably the greatest football player.
True enough.
Of all
time. Thank
you. You want to make that argument?
Bitten by my own snake. Yes. I also. That's a new one for me. Enough with saying. I would argue that. Just make the argument.
Just argue.
Cut to the chase. We don't need you to say, I would argue.
The same thing of people going, I think, like, no kidding, it's what you think.
I honestly believe. Oh, do you typically lie to us? Or
exactly.
Should
yourself.
Yeah.
Or people who did interrupt by saying, I'm sorry to interrupt. Well, then why are you? If you were that sorry, you wouldn't do it.
All right, let's get to question number two here. Which team season...
This is a 1 minute 30 segment in Black Tie's...
In his brain, yes. This was only going to take us 5 minutes, and we've just done 28 minutes. Which team season will be decided in the first 5 weeks? And you mean that good or bad, right? You could be... If people are excited about a certain... I said that for, 2 years ago. That was a keen prediction. Everybody was high on the St. Louis Rams. Now, history has forgotten those predictions, but everybody was, this is the team. Look out for the Rams. I said, look at their schedule. They're going to start the season 0-6, and sure enough, they did, and they were out of it. Handsome, I'll start with you. Does any team seem to have their schedule set up beautifully so that they should be 4-1 or 6-0 or whatever, or will they start off so bad because of how nasty it sets up?
Yeah, one that jumped out at me last night when I was taking a look around, the Cleveland Browns are likely going to have a new quarterback, or we all hope they will, but mm-hmm. maybe that new quarterback doesn't start opening weekend. And so maybe Brian Hoyer's in there. I could see their first 3 weeks are at the Steelers, as you just discussed. Then they have to have the Saints come in there, and we think the Saints are going to be a good team. And then division rivals, the Ravens, come in there as well. If Hoyer is, if they draft that rookie quarterback and it's not, you know, with their first overall pick, which I suspect it may not be, I think that they then head into their bye week in week four. They could be 0-3, and they could be thinking, we've got to hand the reins over to whoever that guy is in week five when they go to the Tennessee Titans.
I mean, again, at Pittsburgh, then the Saints and Baltimore, yeah, and then Pittsburgh comes back around in mid-October.
I want good things for the Browns this year. I mean, I think if the Browns are one of those teams, the Saints for me at least were a few years ago, where it's like, I don't particularly care about the Saints, but I want them to finally win a Super Bowl. The Browns you sort of want good things for, at least if you're not a division rival.
Of course.
But yeah, I'm not holding out much hope for them this time around.
Rank, how say you, good or bad? Again,
this is going to be an interesting opening month for the Birds. As we mentioned before, they play play host to the Chargers on that first Monday night game.
And by again, we're talking Cardinals, right?
Yes,
the Cardinals. Right. Sometimes because there are a lot of winged.
I guess yeah, I could have been talking about
NFL.
The Ravens or something. Right. All right, fair enough. The Arizona Cardinals,
the world champions. They also have wings.
That's birds.
True. Yeah, that's true. All right, you've given me a lot to think of.
Eagles. Our national bird.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Another bird.
The Orioles. No, sorry, wrong.
You're getting off track.
My fault. But I looked at the Cardinals' schedule, and they play host to the Chargers in opening week. Then they have to travel to New York to go play the Giants, who could be a lot better this season. They probably won't be as bad as they were last year. And then they play host to the 49ers in week three, which will be a pivotal game. Then they have their bye. Thank God they have their bye week in week four, so that another West Coast team can get that early bye week out of the game and get
the
it over.
The great defender West Coast.
However, the Giants, thank goodness, the Giants have another late bye week. By the way, the Giants, since 2008, they've had a bye week before week seven just once. Only once, I should say. But that's good. So the Cardinals. They have their week. And then they play at Denver. That's a pretty strong start to the season.
Well, it's funny you say that, because now I can jump in with my first five, and I guess we're all pessimistic by nature because we're not picking the team that has a chance to get off on the right foot because it's so easy for them. I'm talking about those Broncos. I said again a week or two ago, I went through the schedule. I didn't need to see what time of the season these games were being played. All you have to do is dig up the Denver Broncos schedule for 2014 and then look back at the schedule they played in 2013. It was a cakewalk. Yes, they were an extraordinary team, an all-time great offense, and maybe this defense will be better, but this Broncos team collectively better be better than it was last year if they want to get anywhere close to 13-3 in 2014. Dig this. Colts right out of the gate. Colts are going to have arguably. I did that unironically, too. They maybe have the, and they maybe not is the response to that. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe not. But they look to have among the toughest schedules out there this year. Colts, and my point is, Denver last year had one of the all-time great collection of pass catchers you'll ever see with, you know who they were. How about the Colts, what they're going to have this year? They are going to have Kobe Fleener, Andrew Luck's college pal. Mm-hmm. We'll see about Dwayne Allen, what he has. The other guy who, coming out of Clemson, was supposed to be a dynamic tight end. He's just been hurt too much. Mm-hmm. Then Reggie Wayne, then T.Y. Hilton, and now Hakeem Nicks, who's got something to prove, who's big and tough. I don't know. Maybe it's gone for him. But if he is anything close to what he was, then that's the best collection of pass catchers in the AFC. So anyway, Colts at Denver. Then the Chiefs come to town. Then the Broncos go to Seattle. Then, like Rank says, the Cardinals pay a visit. And then they go to the Jets. And then after that, they play the Niners visit them. Then the Chargers. Then they go to New England. That first...
And they have a bye week in week four, which you skipped over.
I so skipped
gonna,
the bye, but their first but half gonna, of the season is just brutal.
But they're going to have 13 consecutive games they're going to have to play.
Mm-hmm. Going for, what is that, 5-3 at best? I mean, Colts, Chiefs.
Well, the Jets aren't going to be an easy win, and they got the 49ers.
Seattle's a loss. You can say that Seattle's a loss, right?
Well,
nothing's a guarantee, but if the Colts beat them. Anyway, so that's a brutal one. I'd say they're the team that is going to be behind the eight ball, especially if the Chiefs knock them off. If the Chiefs can go in there and beat them and get the same hot, red-hot start that they had a season ago, then the Broncos are going to be in trouble. All right, Black Tie wants us to end his so-called first quarter here with this. Which team is poised to jump out to a surprising fast start? Rank. I don't know exactly what the parameters are to a surprise start.
What is surprising? I don't know what that means.
I don't know. You tell me. Or Black Tie can tell us.
It's a team with a good start, but once you look back on it, it's like, oh, they had an easy schedule. Like you said, the Broncos a couple of years ago when they went 6-0, even the Cardinals when they started off hot 2 years ago when they went 4-0.
Yeah, but they went to New England and won one of those games.
I'll start this one off. I'll start this one off because I know what team it is. It is the Houston Texans. If they have Jadeveon Clowney, and again, one of those rookie QBs, and maybe even if they don't, that team has a chance to be good. And even if they're only pretty good, listen to how they start. They start in Houston, which is significant, against RG3. And the Redskins. I don't know that team's going to be any good with Jay Gruden. I know the reports are that RG3 looks great, but I think that is such a horrible hire. Jay Gruden, time will tell on that one. Then they're at the Raiders, at the Giants, home with the Bills, and then at the Cowboys. Nothing there scares me at all. They could be 5-0 or 4-1 by the time the Colts come to town on October 9th. They could be in great shape, right back where everybody expected them to be last year. Handsome Hank, how say you?
They could be. You're right, Dave. They may not be as well.
They might not be.
That's true.
Certainly could be.
This is going to get maddening.
Yeah, don't get too
everyone's
inside your own
OCD.
Head
is gonna, even if you don't have it, you're going to get it from listening to this.
So my team is the Jets. I'm sorry, the Raiders. The Raiders start off playing against the Jets, who are going to have Geno Smith or Michael Vick scrambling around behind there, trying desperately to find an open receiver. Then they have the Texans at home. Then they go to the Patriots, and then they're taking the trip across the pond to play the Miami Dolphins in London. That's a big game on September the 28th.
It's one of the uniform matchups.
I'm hoping you and I may be there, Dave.
Really?
I'm hoping.
I'd like that.
We could be there.
I'm free.
But you might not be.
But we might not be. But so they could come. They then, like all teams that travel to London, have a bye after that. I'm hoping I could see them, possibly. Being 3-1 as they go into a bye in week 5.
All right, Rank, how about you?
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with new head coach Lovie Smith.
This is a good pick.
They open up the season by playing host to the Carolina Panthers, who they will beat. That's not may or might. They will beat the Panthers. Then they play host to the St. Louis Football Club, beat them. They're 2-0. Then they go to Atlanta. I'm going to say they beat the Falcons 3-0. Steelers beat them 4-0.
Oh, I don't like that. I don't like the way that ended. But all right. Yeah, this is one of those teams that here in the spring, people are starting to get real excited about this Buccaneers team. I caution everybody with this fact. Josh McNown is their starter. The fact that he played well for whatever it was, 3 weeks or 4 weeks with Jay Cutler, the idea that erases everything that preceded that nice month. Well, he's the starting quarterback? Just what? Not even a competition. He's the starter.
It might be Johnny Football.
That's the right pick.
It might not be.
I think they should take Johnny Football.
Yes.
He's not going to be there. Jacksonville has to take him.
You're right. But I don't understand how Lovie Smith could have had the career he had in Chicago, having created that big defense, and every year he must have been nagging in his head. I'm sure we're missing something. Oh, the quarterback. And he would find out at the end of the year he didn't have the quarterback. And now he goes into Tampa and he's like, Josh McCown, that's my guy. Did he learn nothing?
It's so true. But like Rank says, who knows? Maybe they will do like Blake Bortles or something. That would make a lot of sense from a PR standpoint,
Florida
too.
Here's the thing. If they don't get Johnny Football, and again, the league should just mandate whatever the card is, that they hand to the commissioner,
Like, he shouldn't even read it. Be like, it would be so awesome. He just walks up. Yeah, the Jags take Johnny Football.
Come on, guys.
I want him to say Johnny Football, too. I don't want him to say Manziel. Johnny Football! And I mean, if it's possible for him to somehow drop the mic, too,
yep,
that would be awesome. But
that seems like an unnecessary way to punt. But all right. That's the end of the first quarter, I guess.
Wait,
I,
wow.
Did I not?
That went long.
He didn't even go, Black Tie. You didn't even let Rank speak.
No, I said the thing of the deal.
Oh, yeah.
I said Tampa Bay. Oh, but I was going to say, if they don't get it, they might as well just take Mike Evans.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I keep seeing over and over is that
Vincent
Mike
Jackson
Evans is
and the guy who everyone says he's like Mike Evans playing on the same team. Josh McCown could just throw it up and hope.
That's the success that he had with the Bears with Jeffrey and Marshall.
I think the right move is defensive minded coach, offensive improvisational kind of QB. That's the perfect mix that you want. I think that makes sense for the Buccaneers and would make them interesting.
And for more draft coverage, you can check out the 24/7 College Podcast with Daniel Jeremiah, Matt Money Smith, and Bucky Brooks.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the same type of insight.
I don't know if that's a shot at us or not.
All right, we'll be back with the second quarter right after this. Hi, Dave Damashek here for Zippers on Your Jeans. I don't know where people decided to come back with the button fly jeans, but this is nonsense. It gets in the way of your ability as a man when you step into the restroom to take care of business. It delays it by a precious second to 3 seconds. Don't put yourself in that spot. Go with the right route. Go with the modern technology that is Zippers. All right, we're back for the second quarter here.
Support that movement.
Is it 1:45 already?
Yes.
When the second quarter was supposed to start.
We're running long, apparently. Yeah, wow. Apparently we had some referee reviews that delayed the game longer than we thought. So let's kick off the second quarter here. What's the best Thursday night football game this season, Rank? I start with you.
How could you go against the first one? Seahawks, Packers.
We're going NFL Network, CBS, TNF games.
You said
Thursday night game.
You didn't articulate that.
Well, yeah. It's in all caps.
Is it
Thursday night football? It's a brand, guys. Come on.
Is it implied or inferred?
This is a company question here.
All right, go ahead, Rank.
It's going to be the
still the right answer actually.
How is it not the first Thursday night one? I don't know. You guys are. He's playing fast and loose with the rules. He's trying to trip me up here, and I don't know that I appreciate it. So I'm going to sit here and continue to stall because that was my answer. And then
I'll bet
Steelers Ravens. I don't know. It's the second one.
My hunch is that your answer. I was going to predict that it was not going to be the Titans at the Jags in Week 16.
You know what?
That's a Christmas treat. Thursday, December 18th. Again, it all's out the window, though, if they have Johnny Football. And by the way, you know who else could have Johnny Football? The Tennessee Titans. Everybody has ignored that possibility that they might take him. Ken Whisenhunt, maybe.
Johnny Football seems like a Ken Whisenhunt guy.
No, he doesn't, but so what?
You would think from the Matt Leinart experiment.
I want any NFL team that lacks relative heat right now to want them to consider it for that reason. Because suddenly it would become a PR darling. If you know, you put Johnny Football on the Titans, we would pay a lot more attention to that team, right?
Absolutely.
All right, Handsome, how say you? What's your game?
Dave, on Thursday, November the 13th, the Miami Dolphins host the Buffalo Bills. But that's not actually the one I'm picking. I'm actually going for another one, which was on Thursday night last year, and we all enjoyed it. Thursday, October the 23rd, 8th. Weekend of the season, the Broncos against the Chargers.
Dandy one, yeah. The
that
Chargers
was a fun
beat
one
them
last
once.
Time around, wasn't it?
Yep, Chargers beat them once on that Thursday night, and then almost beat them. People forget they almost went in the divisional round and beat that team. They were right there with them. And if it weren't for a big throw or two from Manning coming down the stretch, the Chargers might have won that game. Anyway, I'll go. Of course, I'm going Steelers Ravens, and it's not a homer call. Those two teams almost always play a close game. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have to look back and see if 2013 met the standard. Every single game that these two teams have ever played, the final score is 13-10. Every
That's
single
about
time.
How, yeah.
All right. Next question is. And this is a good one because I've been getting a lot of tweets about it today. Which team should have more primetime games and which team should have less? I don't know what the answer is to that, but I do want to address the fact that there are rumors and whispers and such that the league didn't want to give Seattle any primetime games because there were too many primetime games because they dominated them all and it makes for bad viewing when it's a blowout. Ergo, the league took those away. Handsome, you have the inside poop. True or false?
That doesn't sound like it would be true.
What?
You know something, don't you?
I know nothing.
It doesn't sound like it would be true, so you're saying it is true. It just doesn't sound like
it would
be true.
It doesn't sound like it's true. Read between the lines. That's not an answer. That's a politician answer. You know something, don't you?
I know nothing.
They're a West Coast team. Why would the league want? They've already been chagrined enough.
Yeah, true. This is all we need.
I think the Giants need more primetime games.
Yeah, the Giants only have eight of them.
Yeah,
what are they going to do for the rest? What's wrong with the other eight games? Why shouldn't the Giants be in primetime every week?
They should be the Sunday night game every week.
Who doesn't want to see Eli Manning throwing?
Wait a second. What are you talking about?
Everybody loves the Giants.
The Giants don't have eight primetime games.
They don't.
They have at least five.
They have a lot.
The New York Giants have five or more?
The Seahawks have four primetime games and only one at home, which is the first one.
How do you not know this?
The New York Giants play two Monday night games.
Wonderful.
A couple of Sunday night games.
Of course.
And a Thursday night game.
Sunday night. Well, but those can be flexed out now, thankfully.
They can be, but not...
The Giants have never had a game flexed out.
You can only do it twice between weeks 5 and 11, and their two Sunday night games are both in that time period.
At some point, when we've kind of talked about it, but one time we have to get together with the Around the League podcast and have a joint venture, a roundtable discussion of the fan base that has the biggest chip on its shoulder. And this is all the Seahawks fans needed, was some reason to feel like the league is slighting them with the Seahawks fans. You guys won the Super Bowl. You don't need to continue to argue that you don't have to defend your team anymore. Don't you see? You're over the hump. People who walk around with a chip on their shoulder are the fans of teams who never have won anything. You now have a Lombardi trophy. Ergo, lighten up. No one's disrespecting your team anymore. All right? You're the world champs. That's that. Don't buzz me.
No, it's halftime, guys. It's halftime.
Wow. What about the,
two-minute warning?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what the
different
stuff?
Rules, guys. Different rules. We actually have halftime entertainment, guys.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I missed it. I blended the two together there. The reason you did that, you sounded the buzzer, was because we got a tweet from @JustinStreet, who asked basically the question that we just addressed there about the Seahawks getting there.
Jason Street's brother.
Right. So now it's halftime. We have a band?
Yeah, we do have a band. It's our
Bruno Mars.
Not quite. Try again.
Janet Jackson and one of her bosoms.
Not quite. It's our very own Dave Damashek, a very special number. And take a listen, guys.
Oh, this is my tribute to L.A. King, Anjay Kopitar.
Anjay. Your wilder teams are crying. When you're skating round the rink, other teams are drove to drink. Anjay Kopitar is here. Anjay.
All right, enough of that junk.
Please.
That's beautiful. You know what? I started out, that was when I was on the Adam Carolla radio show a number of years back, and it really started with, because I fell in love with at the time, San Jose winger, Jonathan Chichu. I loved the name Chichu, and so I started singing about him. Then Teemu Selanne came along, then it became Chichu and Teemu, then Yarko Ruotu, Tuomo Ruotu, Anjay Kopitar. Oh, the NHL has the best names. But the NFL is getting more and more good names. I could see me doing a song or two about Barkevious Mingo.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should work on that, Black.
Make that happen.
Let's do that for a future date. Now on to the third quarter. And this one is called... I like that he even gave each quarter a title.
And did we point out that the Seahawks have four primetime games?
Yes.
You're Super Bowl champions. In case you're just joining the show.
I didn't ask you. Do you think there's some...
They have four primetime games, but the Seahawks. Only one at home, which is the first game of the season.
The Giants have five.
What do you think, Greg? You think there's some there's something afoot here?
What's the deal? Why are the Giants so well regarded? What have they done?
Because they're in the biggest market.
But nobody, do you know a Giant? I don't know a single Giants fan.
Well, we live as about as far away as we could, but
I'm playing
devil's damashek because I really have gone through life without knowing. For the team in New York City, you would think that you would know more. I know more Jets fans than I know Giants fans.
Wait, like if you walk down in our newsroom.
But that doesn't mean
every
anything,
other person's a Jets fan. I know about 80 Yankees fans. I don't know a single person.
I know, but
there
are way
Giants.
More. If you went to New York City, you'd way more Giants fans than Jets fans.
Tom Connolly, I forgot. He's a guy from New England who's a Giants fan.
I know, listen, I know some Giants fans, but
I know one.
If I had the list based purely anecdotal, but to me, the biggest fan bases would be the Steelers and Cowboys. The Packers and Raiders would be in the second tier, and I mean the Bears probably have more.
Oh, the Bears, that's another one.
Jets seems to. I mean, whether I'm just unlucky, I just stumble across a lot of Jets fans.
No, I think in
my life, I stumble across Jets fans the whole time.
The name of this quarter, this chapter, whatever you want to call it, the Black Tie's giving it. Strength of schedule.
How did you come up with that, Black Tie?
Because we're going to talk about strength of schedule.
Oh, I see.
Can I answer? Is that a cool answer for you? I don't know if that's what inspired it. All right, Handsome. Better regular season record, the Broncos or Seahawks? Broncos have the second toughest. The Seahawks have the sixth toughest schedule by the people who figure such things out.
I mean,
which I guess is based on previous seasons, the opponents.
It is, which means nothing, because last year, if you'd had the Texans on your schedule at this time, you'd be going, oh, no, we've got to play
right?
the Texans.
Yeah, that's...
It doesn't mean anything. I'm going to say that the Seahawks are going to have a tougher time next season and therefore a worse record because their whole division is very good, whereas the Broncos, comparatively, yes, last year there were two other playoff teams in the AFC West, but I don't think that means that any of us believe that they're comparable to the strength of the 49ers, the Rams, and the Cardinals, comparing the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. So
Frank?
I'm going to say that the Seahawks, worse record than the Broncos. Adam?
I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
I'm going to disagree because a lot of times teams that win the Super Bowl have a huge defection of players, and the Seahawks don't seem to have that. They lost Golden Tate, and they a couple of pieces here and there, but it seems like
they're
predominantly the same team.
And everybody,
the same team is returning. Pete Carroll has coached multiple championship teams, back-to-back teams, going back to his days at USC. He's the right coach to handle this. On the other side, you look at Denver, and I understand that they brought in a lot of high-priced players. DeMarcus Ware, it seems like a good idea. It seems like all these guys will come in and gel and be great, but we've seen it in the past. We've seen teams
could be very Eaglesy. Could go very dream team Eaglesy with
exactly.
the names that they have, or not necessarily it's, guys in 2014 that are going to be dynamite.
Right,
they're just great names, right?
It's like Karl Malone going to the Lakers.
It's like the 1995 Miami Dolphins.
Exactly. Yes.
There you go.
Good examples. All
perfect.
Listen, Chris Wessling around the league scribe. Convinced me because I said, my thinking is that the Seahawks they're not in trouble. They're going to make the playoffs. And I, as of right now, have them winning that division again. Again, I've said it many times. I think the Niners are going to regress a little bit, but I think the Cardinals and Rams are both going to be better than they were last year. I, though, also think the AFC West has a chance to be good. The Chiefs should be about where they were last year. The Chargers are very quietly going to be a good team, I think. And the Raiders aren't junk, at least, and that's damning with faint praise, but they were, they were hot garbage last year. This year they should be, not a complete punchline, but Wessling convinced me that I was wrong, that the Chargers are not, in fact, all that great in 2014, that the Chiefs are going to fall back quite a bit, and that the Raiders remain at least warm garbage. So so that's six games there. But we went through that Broncos schedule. You heard how tough it was. I think Broncos go 11-5. I think the Seahawks go 12-4. So I'll say the Broncos.
Here's the Seahawks week 11 to week 16 schedule. Chiefs, Cardinals, Niners, Eagles, Niners, Cardinals.
What has to do with where those games are, too?
Fair enough, but still. It's,
well,
it's
yeah, but they have to
slate.
Fly a long way to do that.
It's a pretty tough slate right there.
So your answer is the Seahawks. What do you think their record's going to be, Black Tie? Are they going to win the division?
I don't know.
Win their division, everybody?
I would think so.
They play the Cardinals to finish the season. How about that? Division
so we already
title.
Talked about the Cardinals have a tough start to the season. There's going to be these teams that fall off. I don't. St. Louis isn't going to be as good as everybody wants them to be. The schedule for Arizona is going
to be. Who wants them to be? Who's rooting for them? They're coming to L.A. Don't worry, fella. They're going to be the Rams in Los Angeles in 2-3 years from now.
I don't know that I'm in on that anymore.
Really?
I've enjoyed the Beardom.
The Beardom.
Beardom.
You won't root for the Rams. Breaking news. You won't return to being a Rams fan.
You know, it's not as automatic as
I like that. That's a moral conundrum for the ages. Is.
It's not as automatic as it once was 2 years ago.
Who are you jiving? By the way, an under-the-radar thing is that the Seahawks brought back Sidney Rice after they waived him. And if he could ever be healthy, when he's healthy, that is a legitimate upgrade over Golden Tate. If he's ready to go this season, then I like their pass catchers better than they had last year. All right. Which playoff team will miss the playoffs due to a difficult strength of schedule? Rank, I start with you.
Does it have to be because of the strength of schedule or because they just made some troubling moves?
How about a team that everybody likes? Panthers. Or a lot of people like.
Panthers are going to take a step back.
We should dip into this Panthers schedule, if you don't mind me, because I was going to say the same thing, Adam.
Oh, no,
and
please.
I think we could double-team this one and then kind of maybe move this on so that Black Tie doesn't blow a whistle on
hey,
us.
Hey, man,
you're taking too long.
Talking too much football.
Right in the middle of the season, in week 7 onwards, the Panthers go to the Bengals, to the Packers, then they come home again a week later, host the Seahawks, host the Saints, then go to the Eagles on Monday night.
Mm.
Goodbye playoffs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any receivers.
Yes,
and
that also.
And that's all sandwiched by playing the Bears at home, and then the Falcons on the back end, who I think should be a better team.
Right. The meat of their schedule is troubling for them.
Well, here's a team that has a real shot at not making the postseason. We talked about them on our podcast earlier this week, and it was pretty good stuff, actually. It was the three of us here in Studio 66 arguing Andy Dalton versus Geno Smith versus Mike Vick and what those two teams should do with their quarterback spots. And the Bengals, man, they've got a rough ride if the Ravens are going to be effective throwing the football. If that offense gets back, and it looks like they're fully now committing to going from being a run-based team to a pass-first team with Steve Smith, who's obviously going to have a chip on his shoulder. But if the Ravens are good and the Steelers are, back to, that's being presumptuous, but let's say they do get, to being a halfway decent team again and get to, say, 10 wins. And if the Browns with that defense, think about who the Bengals have to play. They have to play the Broncos. They have those first place matchups now that they have to go through. They have to play the Broncos. They have to play the Patriots in prime time. They have to go to the Saints. That's a guaranteed loss. I think that's a team that maybe circle
well,
as
that.
A team that's going to miss the playoffs.
That 3-game stretch at the Saints, at the Texans, at the Buccaneers, those are easily 3 games. That they will lose.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have praised this team for being so loaded, but you wonder about Marvin Lewis. They have 3 straight playoff, but that thing of the message wearing thin on your players. Marvin Lewis has been there forever. What is he, the longest tenured guy now?
Mm-hmm.
Behind Belichick?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, they came in at the same time?
No,
he's second.
No.
Anyway, yeah, I circled the Bengals there. All right, this one comes from at Ben Krellen. What will be the highest and lowest scoring games of the season? Wow, without looking at it, how about that one, Titans at Jags? Some scores on Thursday Night Football tend to be a little depressed, the play. Although that became an old wives' tale. This thing that Thursday night games are terrible, the quality of play, if you go back and look at it, the Thursday night games gained steam as the season went along.
There were some
good games.
It started off pretty bad.
They were atrocious early, but the games got better, and then the Monday night games were the stinkers. If you go through it, that's the way it played out. But I'll go Titans and Jags because Gus Bradley's defense should be better for them, and
that's the lowest scoring game of the year?
Well, how do I know? I don't know.
No, I'm just making sure that you're...
All right, I'll go Colts, I think, are going to be just about unstoppable offensively. So who's the worst defensive team? The Colts, I'm trying to think of.
Well, you're confusing beatdown for, you know, you. I would go with October 26th, the Packers at the Saints. That should be high score. Sunday Night Football. I can see that.
How about week two, one. Eagles at Colts?
That's a good one, too.
That's 42-49.
That's it. You got it right.
Thanks,
Dave. I like
I'm going to say week 13, November 27th, Thanksgiving morning, Chicago Bears 59, the LOL Lions 21.
I can't believe one of my favorite traditions. I guess it wasn't that favorite of this year because I didn't do it yet. What are the Thanksgiving games?
What, you haven't seen this?
I know it's the Seahawks. I know that. I know the Niners are hosting the Seahawks.
It's going to be difficult to know when.
And then the lot. And then, okay, who do the Lions have?
The Bears.
The Lions have the Bears.
I saw Rank's tweet about that last night.
I mean,
that
is flat out exciting.
Bears, Lions to start it off. They've played some good. They had. Do you know, as a Bears wonk, as a longtime Bears fan, Rank, do you remember when the guy started overtime by returning the kickoff for a touchdown?
Was it Eddie Payton?
No. Wasn't Eddie Payton. Now I can't think of the guy's name.
Was it Gilbert? No.
What was his name?
It was in the 80s.
It was probably about 1979, 80, 81-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it was a thing.
I remember the guy had a funny running stride for a kick
Eddie,
return.
No, it was...
It was not Walter Payton's brother. That's not a joke, in fact. I'm sure some people don't know that. Eddie Payton was Walter's brother.
His older brother.
And was a good kick returner, was the thing he did best. Okay, so then who do the Cowboys host? Redskins?
They play host
the
Eagles.
Oh, my God, it's the greatest Thursday Thanksgiving I've ever heard. Oh, my God. Oh my, I'm up on cloud nine. Hey, do you want more gravy? No can do. Here on cloud nine.
By the way, it was Dave Williams who returned the opening kickoff.
I should have gotten that one.
95 yards for the winning touchdown. There's another thing, too. You never need to say game winning. Winning will suffice.
That's a good point.
The winning touchdown. It wasn't a game-winning touchdown. It was a winning touchdown. But I like that the Bears will be leading off Thanksgiving. We can get in some crepuscular drinking and get the day started.
What does that mean? I saw you say that. What is that?
It's like jaguars are crepuscular because they hunt in twilight, like early in the dawn or right when the sun's setting.
Oh, I like. I listen.
So,
if there's anything I like better the older I get than drinking in the sun, it's drinking at the crack of dawn under the cloak of night as night turns to day.
It's the best. And now, because a number of times I've gone out, I probably shouldn't say this, they're not work trips. But I've had to make some flights recently, and if I'm in the airport and it's 7 a.m., I'm like, forget it. I'm drinking a beer. Who cares?
There's a place in the Buffalo.
Time is suspended at the airport.
You know what's terrific? At the Buffalo airport, I like when a city's airport represents the local fair.
You know,
I know it's not as good. New Orleans makes – you can go into the New Orleans airport and get some gumbo, but it's not as good. But at least you get – the thing that you can do in – the Buffalo airport is get wings, and they're actually pretty good. I guess it's hard to screw wings up, but
they are
pretty good.
The wings are good in most airports.
But they are. But the point is, what like Rank just said, I had a flight at 8:30 a couple of years ago in the a.m. Yeah, I had a beer and some wings.
Why not?
It was wonderful.
Why not? You know who does the best job of having local fare is the Long Beach Airport. They don't have a national chain, and I mean it's a small airport, anyways. They don't have a national chain. It's all local, like Taco Surf and all these other Alex's
I
Bar,
like that.
All these cool places.
Chicago does all right. Midway Airport is the one that does the authentic Chicago food. O'Hare, the much bigger airport, has all the places from Chicago, but it's like, you know, it's third rate representation of it.
If you're into that early morning drinking, Dave, I'm sure you're aware that when the middle London game, end of October, the Falcons host the Lions, that game is actually being played out of the normal two time windows.
Oh, right.
It'll be on at 6:30 a.m. Pacific.
Oh,
no way.
9:30 a.m. Eastern. So they're actually, it's three games.
What week is it?
It's week 8. Sunday, October 26th.
Are we in it? So when we're doing Fantasy Live,
it'll be going on.
That game will be going on.
In fact, it may have ended.
It'll be all finished. Before no.
It'll be still going.
Yeah, we'll be going 8:30 here. Oh man, I might do that show drunk.
I love that, and
Can you cut that bit out?
It's a good idea. I don't think we should. I think it's a great idea.
But someone will hold on to it, and then they'll go, and Adam Ofton, when he's performing on in Fantasy Live, looks like he may be a little drunk. Someone will say, I remember back in...
Hey, bud. Hey, bud. Elliot Harrison here, sitting right next to you today. I remember that podcast you did about 6 months ago, back in April.
Can I smell your breath?
I can tell you're drunk now.
Can I smell your breath, Adam?
I'm going to have to go ahead and talk about it right now on national TV. I'm going to have to let it let the cat out of the bag there.
Just real quick, that last question did come from at Ben Krenlin.
I read it.
He did.
Said that.
Okay, just making sure. Just giving a man props.
Why can't we, speaking of odd start times, I advocated after we got that gem, I don't remember what happened. Was it raining or thundering or something? But they pushed that Raiders and Chargers game tonight to Sunday night, like late Sunday night. I think it was, what did it start, like 10 o'clock East Coast or something? I want that. Why can't they put those? If they can do Thursday nights and Monday nights, why can't we have a late? You should be leading the charge on this rank as a West Coast guy.
Right.
Choose the worst game of the season.
Right.
Choose the worst game out there.
All right.
And I mean, of the week, and put that one on the West Coast and play it.
Well, why don't they do that? The second Monday night game in week one is always late to people.
Right.
They should do that every. Although I do the updates. After, like last year, I did the update after that second Monday night game. I was here till past midnight waiting to be.
We have to go on to the fourth quarter because I just remembered I have to go out and shoot something right now at 2:30 local time, and it's 2:27. I wanted to go right to 60 minutes because it fit your precious schedule here. You did 60 minutes worth of action here. We're almost through a full four quarters here, 60 minutes on the dot, but I got to run. How about Rank brings it home?
You have a little bit of time. You still have about 5-10 minutes here. You're fine.
Oh, they said that?
Yeah, you can go.
Whoever said it's all right, we don't have to be 2:30? Okay, good.
So you know, Dave, everyone pads. Whenever they ask you to come for something, they always tell you 10 minutes earlier than, or maybe 15.
Don't tell
you know
them
why?
That.
You know why they do that,
That's
though,
because
right?
It's when he becomes aware.
Because they want to spend more time with you.
No, they do that because my time is more precious than anyone else's.
Yes.
I like that's when funny. People say that. I like when people, you know, when you show up late to things, that says to everybody else that you think you are more important than they are.
Of course you are.
Yes.
The most important person.
Everybody
to you
gets
is
that
you.
Then? Everybody understands that then? So then what are we arguing about? Let's just, I would argue. No. Okay, so let's, the fourth quarter. The 2014 NFL playoff teams are, I'm sorry, I don't want to be anticlimactic. I can't answer that yet. I have integrity, Black Tie. I'm not going to tell you who I think are in the.
This is your first crack at it. Come on, no one's saying you're going to stick to this.
Because I don't
weeks,
like putting them out there
right
and
now,
then change them.
Looking at the schedule, you're not going to put this in print. Tell us who you think the playoff teams will be.
All right, I think the Ravens are going to win the AFC North. I think the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. Mm-hmm. I think – I don't have to say I think in front of every single
nope,
one of them.
Nope, you can just say it.
Right.
We'll get it.
The South is the Colts. They're your number one seed. I said that a couple weeks ago. Look at their schedule if you don't believe me. And the Broncos will win the West. I will say your two wild – excuse me. Your two wild cards – I'm going to go with their return. They have to get back. The Steelers, it's April. I can be a homer. I'm going to say the Steelers one and two, the Chiefs will get back. That's unexciting a list as you could possibly have, though. I just put all the teams back in there with the exception of the Steelers. Mm-hmm. That stinks.
And that's the one thing, too, is everybody who believes that the Chiefs are going to take a step back is that team is immensely talented. They had all those Pro Bowlers the previous year before Andy Reid got there.
What if they get Odell Beckham or someone like that to go alongside Dwayne Bowe? That'll be a great pass attack.
And Andy Reid is one of the most consistent coaches going.
And so they have the top one of the top two or three running backs in the game, too. Yeah, and the defense remains loaded.
The Chargers are the team that's in trouble.
All right. I don't know. Go ahead, Rank. So that's my AFC for you.
Yeah, I'm going to join you with the Patriots, Ravens, Colts, Broncos. So the Ravens are new, and then I would go Kansas City, Houston, it's going to be back. And then I'm going to say, you know what? The heck with it. I'm going to say the Buffalo Bills.
Handsome.
As your surprise team.
I'm going to say the Patriots, the Ravens. The Colts, the Broncos, the Houston Texans, I agree with you.
Yeah, I think
they're jumping back in. and the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins. I could go that way. No. I don't think you're spot on.
Look, if I don't say that now, if in April, even before the draft has happened, that my team is going to be a wild card team, then what's the point?
Exactly. This is when you should do it.
It's coming from that division.
Yes. Your number one seed in the AFC, in the NFC. Again, I don't think they're better than anybody else. I like their schedule. If I wish my team played this schedule. The New Orleans Saints. They're almost unbeatable at home, and their schedule sets up beautifully. Their toughest road games are, I think, at Dallas, at Pittsburgh, and there's one other one that you're kind of like, it's not easy, but it's not hard.
Right.
This, of course, ignores the teams that they have to play in their division, which, by the way, as of now, don't look terribly rugged, like a rugged trio. Then number two, Seattle. Then the Packers, who I am on record as saying will be your champion this year. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
But who's going to be their quarterback?
I don't understand why that is. I mean, no, I don't even understand the argument you try to make.
It is.
That.
You could mad lib.
That Aaron Rodgers isn't that good. He's not a winner.
You could mad lib all your arguments for Aaron Rodgers are mad libs of people, of all the God. Paid Manning fanboys.
Oh, is that ridiculous?
Blaming other people.
That is honestly absurd.
I will say this, though. Aaron Rodgers is one Super Bowl less season away from being in that conversation. I was looking at him.
Yeah, but you know he won a Super Bowl, though, right?
He's won one, exactly.
So
just like Manning did.
So is Peyton Manning.
If he goes
this season.
In a
third of the time. That's what I'm saying.
If he goes this season.
Not a 39-year-old man.
If he goes this season without winning a Super Bowl, you're going to start thinking.
This season?
So
it has to be this year.
When does Tom Brady get into that same conversation?
Tom Brady's won multiple.
When he doesn't. When he goes another year without winning his second Super Bowl.
By the way,
he's got three.
I'm not a school of thought that thinks, oh, your Super Bowl ranks determine who's the best quarterback. It's a team game. That's just too simplistic. But for you guys,
Make it that simplistic.
For you guys that
everybody
think that way,
everybody who argues in favor of guys who haven't won enough use that. They go to you're being too simplistic. No. I understand that there are other factors. Now, listen, I don't want to get into that conversation, but it is silly to say Aaron Rodgers is somehow chokes in the club. You think Aaron Rodgers doesn't come through in big moments? How about how he beat the Bears in Chicago when the season was on the line?
Well, you know that because team,
Chuck. Julius Peppers couldn't make the sack. Oh, at least he's on the Packers now.
He sidestepped it and threw the season-clinching touchdown pass.
Jared Allen makes that play.
Philadelphia Eagles are going to cruise in the East, but look at their schedule, and you'll see that it's pretty tough. And so the Eagles are going to win the division, but they're a 4 seed. Then I don't know. Bears are going to be good. I think Bears are going to be real good. And I'll say the Cardinals to shake it up and to support my theory that the 49ers are going to be like 9-7 this year. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I think the Eagles win the East. I think the Packers win the North. I think the Saints win the South. I think the Seahawks win the West. I think the 49ers are a wild card team. And I think the Washington Redskins are a wild card team.
All right. I mean, listen, I think they could be really good, except then they hired Jay Gruden.
After a season, I'll tell you, but who knows?
I don't
he hasn't
know.
Been a
I,
head coach. He was
I know,
great with the Orlando Predators in the Arena Football League.
I know enough to not assume that I know better than people who have interacted and worked with some of these coaches out there. And the guys who have done that, who have been around these guys day to day, watched them scheme for an opponent and all that, are surprised that Jay Gruden is an offensive coordinator, let alone in the NFL, let alone a head coach.
Well,
last year I was having a conversation with guys, and they were saying, I can't believe Jay Gruden continues to be a coordinator at this level, and now he's a head coach at this level.
But a head coach does less of the coordinating, and he does more of just the overall management. And
they didn't hire John, though.
I'm well aware of that.
That's
Jay
fine.
Gruden
I don't know if they
been
know
a head
that.
Coach in the Arena Football League, and say what you want about it. At least he has the experience of being the head football coach of a team and doing all the things that come with that.
That's another good one, too, that we should
head
add to the list
coach.
Is say whatever you want. Say whatever you want. No. Say whatever you want.
Say whatever you want.
That's a good. Say whatever you want is always, of course, you're saying something bad about somebody.
Yes.
If you preface it. I've had people do that to me. Say whatever you want about Damashek. At least you got to give him whatever. And like, well, that hurts my feelings. You're saying that there's nothing
other
good
people,
about me.
Well, other people are saying bad things about you is what it
means.
Yeah,
I guess it's better than people saying like, say whatever you want about Damashek because he's a zero. So there's nothing good to say. So say whatever you want.
That's
Rank your playoff teams.
That's can you guys identify the offensive coordinator for the Redskins? I just looked him up, and now I've
closed, room?
I've closed the page, and I can't remember his name now.
Jim Zorn.
Jim Zorn is not correct. It's Sean McVay. So,
oh, yeah, Sean. He's he's 26 years old.
He looks like he's related to Gronkowski.
Former tight ends coach.
Yeah, well, look at Jordan Reed. So there you go.
Is he Todd's brother?
You know.
Because then he at least would understand personnel, theoretically.
It's McVay, not McShay.
Oh. Never mind then.
All right,
out the window.
You know what? That's not going to stop me from picking the Washington Redskins to be your AFC East champion.
AFC East champion.
Or the NFC East. Yeah, that too. They switched. NFC North.
You guys have heard about what the Eagles did, right? They're going to be great. Why would they possibly not be better than they were last year and they won the division?
Are they? Nick Foles? I don't know. A lot of people seem to have questions.
The offensive line's going to be a lot better, so that'll help Nick Foles.
The weird thing to me is a lot of people who scout the NFL, who I've talked to, have led me to believe that the Eagles still don't believe in Nick Foles, even though he was fantastic last year.
Interesting.
And a lot of people are like, yeah, that's why they got Mark Sanchez. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. Mark Sanchez, I'm going to pick him on my fantasy team. They got the Lions in week 16.
By the way, we haven't talked about that. That's a pretty interesting, we won't do it now, but that's a fun backup battle. Matt Barkley versus Mark Sanchez.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
That's a fun one. I haven't thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Those two guys going head to head.
All they needed was Matt Leinart, and it would have been perfect.
Mark Sanchez ever Matt Barkley sort of mentor?
No. He must have been.
No, Matt Barkley started as a freshman.
Sanchez left,
and that left that allowed Barkley to start.
Well, surely they've kibitzed.
Recruiting.
And maybe on a recruiting visit, Mark Sanchez took him out on the town.
I'm pretty sure they'd known each other. They don't have to be introduced.
That's pretty fun. But what if Matt Barkley, that's the end of Mark Sanchez. If Matt Barkley in his second season beats out Sanchez, then who would ever go get Sanchez again? That could be the end of his NFL career, right?
Not happening.
Guys, as we end, I just want to say.
Wait, can I go through my division, my playoff teams?
Nope. Black Tie said no.
Redskins.
Okay.
Of course, the Bears are going to win the NFC North. I'm going to go, don't laugh at that. Your New Orleans Saints will win the South. We will go with Seattle in the NFC West, with your playoff teams being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers.
All right. What did you have to say, Black Tie? Sound the horn.
Just as you said, this is...
We went into overtime, to be fair.
Just as you said, Sanchez might be done if Barkley wins that job. This is the first NFL season in about 3-4 years where there's really no hint or sounds of Tebow. No Tebow at all. No Tebow at all. So,
until you just mentioned it.
Well, yes. Yeah, so this is officially the
end
of it.
He's back!
You know, last season it was like, oh,
next
who's
podcast,
gonna sign him up?
All Tebow. Hour of Tebow Power, next podcast. All right, listen, here's what I want to do, Black Tie. Next week, we're chasing Ike Taylor, who fancies himself a personnel guy, and he has some serious thoughts, legitimately, about what the Steelers are going to do. I think he might know something. I think he actually involves himself with Kevin Colbert and the decision-makers.
Last time he was on the show, he said that much.
I know he talks to them. He clearly does, Handsome. He does talk to them.
Oh, I know he talks to them during the season. He's not calling them in April.
I think he maybe does. He goes to the facility. What do you think? Kevin Colbert works in some ivory tower? I'm sure he's...
At this time of year, yes. General managers, personnel guys are in an ivory tower. And the room isn't like, hey, stroll on
in. Ike Taylor isn't some bum who's been there for 3 years. He's been there. He's a long tenured guy. I bet you he can go in there and talk to Kevin Colbert and say, I think you should do this. Anything to plug rank? Like I say, go check out NFL.com for the all-time draft of 2014.
Yeah, what do we do? I got some stuff out there.
We got
NFL.com/AdamRank.
Also,
I got things. Well, it depends when somebody's reading this. If you're reading it next week.
Just say you have this, that, and the other out there.
We're going to do an all-time mock draft coming up for the we'll talk about that next week.
Mm. Ooh, for fantasy.
For fantasy? No. Star Wars characters.
Ah.
May the 4th is coming up.
Black Tie is going to be posting soon on NFL.com, I believe, my conversation with Hugh Jackman, star of X-Men, what's it called? Days of Future Past. I'm excited for this picture. Yeah,
yeah, it should be a good one.
All right, so that'll be up there soon
for
you, too.
Has Fassbender in it. He's great.
He is good. He's good in everything. He's my favorite character he's done is in... Inglorious Bastards.
Yes.
That's what a great. That's one of the best scenes in the last decade in any movie. All right. Well, listen, we'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you at the early part of next week. But in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.